I'm certainly glad to see everyone here tonight. Of course, we have a business meeting, but I'm going to do a devotion prior to that. Have your Bibles. I'll invite you to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Started a little bit Sunday night on the profile of leadership, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time teaching with some of these principles from the life of the Apostle Paul. There's many things that we find in chapter 20 that I think personifies who Paul was as a man, as a leader. I don't think his motivation in life was to get up and to become famous. I think his motivation was to serve the Lord. I really feel his motivation was to please the Lord with his life and to advance the cause of Christ, to strengthen, to encourage, to instruct, to build up. That's what Paul's desire was. And God used him with that. I believe he kept his heart right, and God put him in the right direction. As I said Sunday night, and I'll say more, and we'll get back to this maybe this coming Sunday night, but he wasn't known to be a charismatic leader. Paul never claimed to even be a great orator. In fact, he said, "I didn't come with you in wisdom of words, which man speaks, but he said, I come with you in weakness and fear and trembling." Paul wasn't known to be someone that was powerful and mighty in the pulpit. He wasn't a force maybe like a John the Baptist. He wasn't eloquent like Apollos. But Paul was definitely someone that God used, and used in a mighty way. I'll talk about one of the reasons Paul was so effective. A lot of people measure all preachers just by their preaching ability. There's so much more than just that. He was one, regardless of what was going on around him, he seemed to find an opportunity to share the gospel. He was one, regardless of the criticism, he held on to his vision, even when people would question that. He was one who could forgive when others could never move past the things that offended them. He is definitely a profile in leadership. And in the start of chapter number 20, in the first verse, we see Paul was one that, when he looked around and saw what had happened in Ephesus, he said, it's time to go. But he called his disciples together. The disciples, the disciples of Christ, and he embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. You see the tenderness and the affection. He physically embraced them. And as I said the other night, jokingly, he was very much a hugger, all right? It wasn't one of these awkward Baptist hugs, and he was a hugger. He embraced them. And so we find on that Paul, he speaks to them, and he talks with them, and he gives them much exhortation. The Bible says he came to Greece. So Paul not only, what we would say, physically, he came along and encouraged them. Verbally, he encouraged them. But here's something I want to say tonight quickly, and we'll get into the business meeting. But not only leaders do they love people, but I believe this, good leaders are tenacious. Tenacious. Now, when we talk about this, we're not talking about just the role of a pastor. Wherever God has you in life, you need to love people. I don't care if you're working in the school system, you need to love people. If you want to be a leader in your community, you better love people. If you're in a position of management in a store, you better love people. And if you, whatever you do, whatever God's given you, love people, okay? And they need to know it's real. They shouldn't see a bunch of fake. It shouldn't just be something that you've been trained to do, but you should have a genuine heart for people. And so it goes beyond just that. But this guy, and there's so many avenues which we could chase this, and I'll try not to stay long, but in verses 3 through 6, we see that he comes into Greece, he abides there 3 months, there were Jews that were there that hated his guts, and they were hiding, they were waiting to kill him, and guess what? The Bible says that he said, you know what, I'm going to return a different way. And so he sailed a different direction, he went back through Macedonia and traveled. And let me just say to you, because there was opposition and because Paul had to change his plans, didn't mean that Paul was so rigid that if he couldn't have it his way, he quit. Paul wasn't one because there was trouble on the horizon that he run from it. Paul wasn't one to run and stick his head in some spiritual bunker and hope that he doesn't get bombed. But Paul was always wise enough to say, you know what, I may have to back up, I may have to punt. I may have to back up here, but I'm not going to quit. And that's one of the things you'll find about this man's life. Regardless of what he faced, he never quit. He lived almost his entire adult life under threat of ambush, under threat of death. and imprisonment, assault, abuse verbally. But this man never stopped. I mean, you'll find, we'll go through this, it didn't matter if they were mobs. It didn't matter if the mobs were pagan. It didn't matter if the mobs were Jewish. It didn't matter. He found some way to make somebody mad. And you know what he made them mad for? Telling the truth. He made them mad for just simply telling the truth. Now, he went out trying to make people mad, but Paul wouldn't get hung up on legalism, and Paul was going to fight against liberalism, and I believe both are to be just as staunchly opposed as one another. And so I say to you that what happens sometimes in our lives, wherever you may be, where God has you as a leader, when things get going tough, you know what most people do? They throw in the towel, they quit, and they walk away. That wasn't the Apostle Paul. He wasn't going to quit. He refused to quit. I mean, if we could rename Rocky Balboa, we probably could name him the Apostle Paul. I mean, yes, beat up, pulverized, the crazy fool just jumps back up. He refuses to stay down. I mean, nothing is going to stop him. And see, may I say, I want to hear you. I want you to hear me tonight. Wherever God has you, whether it's a preacher, whether it's pastor, whether it's you're in a management position, or you have a crew you're running out somewhere, a business you're running, you are a leader. And the truth of the matter is, when you're in a position of leadership, even a school teacher, you're a leader. Guess what? Not everybody's going to like your decisions. Not everybody's going to like what you do. And I promise you, if you've been put in the place of authority, you're going to rub some people wrong. But you know what you do? You do what God has called you to do and be the person God has called you to be. And you endure the hardships. You take them on the chin. And when you get knocked down, you find a way to pick yourself up by the grace of God and carry on. Now, let me just say something about this guy. You'll find when he was saved in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, Jesus said to Ananias, he said, listen, I'm going to show him the things he's got to suffer for my sake. Think about that. Paul didn't go into this thing blindly. He was going to suffer for the kingdom of God's sake. And he was showing that from the start. It wasn't like, oh, you're going to be wealthy. You're going to be a big-time preacher. You're going to write several books of the Bible. Everybody's going to love you. You have a bunch of people that loves you. Well, who wouldn't sign up for that? But I tell you what else went along with that. Yeah, you'd be a big-time preacher, but a lot of people really want your head on a silver platter. Huh? You might write some books of the Bible, but there's going to be people sending notes back and forth to the authorities trying to find a way to have you slain. You ain't ever going to stop. You're going to be a vagabond from this day forward. I mean, listen to me. The story that when Jesus showed, he showed you what he's going to have to suffer. I better not preach on that a whole lot. But let me tell you, he on his first missionary journey, there's some time Paul develops, and even develops at a period of time. Barnabas goes and gets him, brings to Antioch. The church at Antioch's doing real successful. The church at Antioch, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to Paul and Barnabas and the church, and they send Paul and Barnabas out as missionaries. And the first thing that happens on this missionary journey, Paul has to confront religious deception. He finds people that were false teachers, false prophets. There was one by the name of Bar-Jesus. You'll find that chapter that he went about trying to subvert the very things that Paul was doing. He found out that not everybody wants to listen, and there's going to be people going to try and stop you. And he confronted him as well. But Paul was willing to deal with deception. He was also had to deal with desertion. He found that one of the men that went with him abandoned him, and this would cause trouble later on down the road. You'll find that and the Bible tells us that young John Mark, he quit and went home. Barnabas' nephew. He had to deal with desertion. He was demonized at Iconium. I mean, you'll find that the people there, they fought him everything he had to say. He goes on to Lystra from there, didn't hang out. And guess what happens? He heals somebody, him and Barnabas. They heal a lame man. And suddenly everybody said, these are the voices of God. And they started calling them Jupiter and started calling them, Mercury. And basically they were saying, this is the Greek goddess Zeus. And this is the great Greek god Hermes. Zeus is the king of the gods. That's Barnabas. And the speaker for the gods is Paul and Hermes. So the moment they got deified, it didn't take long though. Next moment you'll find that they were demonized again. It don't take long. I want to tell you something. In ministry, sometimes you're loved, sometimes you're hated, and sometimes there ain't no in between. Right? That's encouraging, Joseph. That's encouraging, Rodney. I'm just being honest. There's no in between. And so he's demonized. And then you know what happened? You'll find that they take him and they stone him when he's demonized. And guess what happened? After they stoned him, they left him, and Paul rose to come back to his feet alive. I believe Paul died. I believe God raised Paul up from what he said in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Let me say to you, this guy was determined, tenacious. He got stoned, left for dead. You know what he did? When he got up, did he go find a lawyer, a Roman authority? They shouldn't have done this to me. I'm a Roman citizen. He walked 20 miles to the next town to preach the gospel. That's tenacious. Tenacious. Let me say to you, he went to Derby after this. And you, listen, there wasn't no rest. And what did he do? You see, you come to chapter 14. He goes through that and he passes back to all those cities again. And chapter 14 and verse 26, I like how it says this about the Apostle Paul. It says, he sailed thence to Antioch, from whence they've been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They did what God told them to do. How did he do that? The journey I just told you about this man taking, that's a quick synopsis, is rough. It was worse than just what I described. But let me just tell you something. He established churches all along the way. In spite of hostility, in spite of opposition, in spite of people trying to kill him. Some people, maybe they did. God raised him back up. This guy was tenacious. When he understood what the will of God was for his life, he was like a pit bulldog that could bit a hold of something and was not going to turn loose. Tenacious. Refused to let go. You'll find that he confronted false teachers. As soon as he got back, he didn't get the rest. The false teachers come in. Teaching perverse. St. Paul and Barnabas had it out with them. They go back to Jerusalem. They settle the matter. They come back home. They think, man, we need to go on this. We need to go establish. We need to go see how our brethren's doing. Barnabas said, yeah, let me call Mark. Paul said, that's not a good idea. And you know what happened? Paul and his closest friends, because he was willing to take a stand for his convictions, he lost his closest friend and comrade in the work of the Lord. They separated asunder one from another. Their contention was so sharp. This guy, did he quit because he lost friends? No, he kept going. You'll find that when he goes, he's beaten at Philippi. He's beaten and put in jail. He's bleeding. He wins the jailer to the Lord. When he goes to Thessalonica, he stirs up enemies that hates him from that day forward in chapter 17. He goes to Athens and he preaches on Mars Hill and they call him a babbler. The educated folks did. They mock him and what he had to say. Some listen. But may I say, by the time you come to chapter 18, you see Paul is scared. He's fearful. He's thinking about the beating. He's been mocked. Life's got tough. Life's not been easy. That means he quit. The Lord came to him and encouraged him and said, Paul, I've got much people in this city, and I ain't going to let anybody touch you now. Go preach. You know what he did? He went preach. You see, we get discouraged. Don't mean we quit. I've been discouraged many times, but you still get, don't stop. Let me tell you, leadership, you're going to face times that is difficult, times even when, and listen, by the way, when all this was facing him, still yet good things were going on. I can attest to this. Brother Joseph may know this too, pastoring. Sometimes the Sundays God blesses the best is the very Sundays the devil gets at me the worst. Yeah. Little things, little angles come at you and eat at you. And you know what you do? Instead of sitting back, it's easy. The devil says, think on this, think on this. You start thinking, there's a new family. Yeah, that person made a move. This person been saved. This person wanted to join the church. I talked to a person who's interested in knowing more about the Lord, more about the church. You've got to see the positive where God is blessing. And I want to tell you, you've got to have determination. And so you find the false teachers, and you'll find those that stoned him, those that stirred up people, that hunted and hounded him. Wherever he went, they mocked him. He goes to one town. He said they were more noble here in Berea than those Thessalonians because they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. But those Thessalonians found them there every step of the way. They were discouraged and fearful. And you know what God did? God encouraged him. And he goes to the next town, comes to Ephesus. You know what happens there? You think things are going to smooth up for him? No. He causes a riot in Ephesus for preaching the truth. A riot. They almost had to send the Roman garrisons to straighten that thing out. And you say, what are you saying? Well, look in chapter 20, where we started, verse 24. Here's what Paul said. Under the inspiration of God. Chapter 20, verse 24. Look back at verse 23. He says, "Save the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of those things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul would not be moved. Why? Because he is tenacious. He goes to Jerusalem, his integrity's challenged. They don't even really pay much attention to what he's done. He tells about all the churches and all the people saved. And they said, yeah, Paul, we know that. But look how many Jews here have been saved. And guess what? They keep the law too. Like they were better. Like they were superior. And so, Paul there. And then they question Paul. So you're going to have to prove yourself to these Jews here. And you know what happened? He goes to the temple. He gets beat to a pulp. If the Roman garrison had stepped in, Paul would have died. And you know what the rest of the story is about? He's in prison. He's defending his faith. He gets on a ship, sails toward Rome. Big storm comes. They don't see the sun or the moon for days or night. And guess what happened? God speaks to him. Paul says, guess what? We're all going to live. All right. And the ship sinks. Then they go to a little town or a little island. Guess what happened? First thing there, he gets bit by a snake. He said, well, Grant, what are you saying? Did he quit? He didn't quit. He just kept going. Let me tell you one thing. I'll tell you, anybody wants to be, you better be tenacious. You find out what God wants out of your life. And I'm not just talking about ministry. What God wants, and go after it. We need people in our schools that are leaders. We need teenagers. We need kids that are willing to be leaders. It's easy when the pressure's on you to fall back in and do the things of the world. But we ought to be different. God has called us to be more. And this man is a profile in leadership. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We're thankful for the opportunity to come tonight and look at your Word just for a few minutes. And God, we're thankful we can come together for this business meeting. I pray that you would bless it. May you be honored. May you be glorified in this. And God, help us to be wise. And we thank you, Lord, for our church. We're thankful, God, for your love. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful, God, that you still speak and you still draw lost sinners to yourselves. And we pray, God, that you would help us to be the witness, God, you called us to be, to every man, woman, boy, and girl that come under the sound of our voice, that they might be saved. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.